The first reading, Isaiah chapter 57. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would grow faint before me, and the breath of life that I made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain I was angry. I struck him. I hid my face and was angry. But he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The second reading, Acts chapter 10. So Peter opened his mouth and said, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in languages and extolling God. Then Peter declared, Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3. For in this way God loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Reverend President Newton, Circuit Visitor Crown, brothers in the ministry, family, friends, brothers, sisters in Christ, and especially you, Brother Martin. We meditate today on portions of the Gospel and the Epistle appointed for this Sunday. Hear now, once again, these brief words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And from the epistle, these words, So Peter opened his mouth and said, And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Today is the 50th day of Easter, the day the church calls Pentecost. And to celebrate this day properly, the church in every time and every place must be convinced daily, weekly, minute by minute, indeed each and every Sunday, each and every day, that the miracle of that first Pentecost is repeated in the liturgy and the word of the church. Thus it is most fitting that this day your pastor should be installed to do God's loving and God's speaking for him in this place through his church. The gospel declares for us the reality of that cause, that reality found in the essence of the Holy Trinity. Because of the Father's love for his fallen creation, he sends his Son, whose earthly work is giving life through the Spirit, causing sinners to be reconnected to God through Jesus Christ. The epistle from Peter's speech declares how this occurs in the world. Peter speaks through the Word, and the source and delivery of that reality is the Word of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the job description of the Holy Spirit is not to be found in the miracles of nature, nor is it to be seen in unlearned language spoken. Rather, it is graphically portrayed by Dr. Luther in his explanation to the third article of the Creed, sadly, which many of the children of the church today do not know, that the Holy Spirit calls the church by the gospel. The Holy Spirit enlightens the church with the gifts of Christ, and the Holy Spirit makes the church holy through the forgiveness earned by Christ. And finally, the Holy Spirit keeps that church in the one true faith, keeps the church connected to God the Father through the cross of God the Son by the work of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the Holy Spirit has done and continues to do this great work of calling, gathering, and enlightening the church one person at a time and putting them into his bride, the church. He does it at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He did it here in this place this morning, and he is doing it in this place now. God adds to the church daily those who are called to faith in Christ. And he does so through the word that most everyone knows. I thought of calling John 3:16 the most noted passage in Scripture, but I think there's one even more noted, and that is every unbeliever knows this one. Doesn't God somewhere say, "You shall not judge"? As soon as you speak the word of law, that word flies from their mouth. But this is the most and much more important word. God loved the world. That means God loves you. And God, the Holy Spirit, is still involved in the work that he has been sent to do. And so that you might hear this word, this good news, the Lord of the church puts pastors into his church to proclaim that gospel to you. Pastors and hearers, that's the Lord's design for his bride. For the church is the bride of Christ. And the pastor? No, he is not the bridegroom. We will call him for our purposes today the best man. The one who stands in the place of the bridegroom, who cares for the bride until the bridegroom appears again when he returns. Grace Congregation, for those of you who are not familiar with it, has experienced something this past year that it has not experienced since 1965. This congregation has been without a pastor to know you, to love you in good times, bad times, and to speak to you the word of God, rightly dividing that word of truth. Yes, you have been privileged to gather around the daily offices. You have occasionally had the visiting pastor administer the sacraments and conduct the rites of Christian burial. But you have not had in your presence that one sent specifically by Christ for you. Why is that important? Well, that takes us to the job description of the pastor. Since the Holy Spirit has this job description, the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps the church. So then, what is the job description of a pastor? As I was preparing this sermon, I read an article in the Lutheran Witness with a strange title, Getting Over a Pastor. This article was written following the commencement service at one of our seminaries this past spring. And it makes these points that I share with you today because I think they are relevant for us. We shall apply them directly to this day. Pastors and congregations belong together. Their names are tied to one another in something that closely resembles earthly marriage, much more so than employment. The pastor is tied to both his bride and the groomsman through the divinely given office of the holy ministry. That means, dear friends, for you, Pastor Nolan will give himself to this task. He will do so much more fully than a hired hand is capable of doing. Pastor Nolan will suffer for the congregation and the people of Grace Lutheran Church and School. His heart, his life will bleed for you. And he will pour out every inch of his soul and pour out his very being for your life, for you. Now, as outrageous as that sounds, as grand and sweeping as that may appear, Pastor Nolan will try to save your souls and the souls of the children of Grace. It is, of course, God that does the saving. We all know that. We must be reminded of that. But Pastor Nolan will nonetheless work even when he shouldn't. And he will work hard for you. And he may even suffer and die for you, but he will not redeem you. That has been done already. He will feel the burden of that task laid on his shoulders through his ordination. It will leave a mark on him, and yet he will leave his life with you. He will work with you and for you as though all depends on him. But I know him well, and he will know that it all depends on Christ. The fourth point the author of this article made was that pastors are not irreplaceable. I have often taught in this very place that pastors are much like spark plugs. When one is removed or doesn't function anymore, you take it out and simply replace it with another. Now, we all know that that's very simplistic, and the pastors are all smiling over there because it is overly simplistic, yet because according to Christ's scheme, it is precisely the way he would have it to be known. Because pastors are sent by God, you will love Pastor Nolan, members of Grace Congregation, and his family, just as he and his family will love you, all because of Christ. Pastor Nolan has been put in this place by none other than Christ himself. He has been sent here so that he may faithfully instruct the flock with the deep mysteries of the triune God. This gives you both confidence, expectation, and hope. And Pastor Nolan will impart to you the whole counsel of God. He will speak to you God's word of law and judgment upon your sin, and he will give to you that gospel. He will divide them rightly so as not to confuse our much confused minds. He will preach you the law so that sin which clings to your old nature is crucified with Christ Jesus. And he will proclaim the gospel so that your sin-weary soul might find rest in your crucified and resurrected Christ. To sustain this faith, he will give you what the Lord has sent him to disperse for you, the mysteries of Christ. He will give you the word of Christ and the body and blood of Christ, that will sustain your faith in Christ. You perhaps may not be unaware of this, whether you're a member of Grace or not, but your pastor, along with Pastor Nolan in this place, will pray for you. That's important. And I submit to you this day that you in turn must pray for him. Because this is the way it is with Christ, who prays both for his bride and the best man. And you belong to him and have been given new life in him that conforms your life to his life. In other words, he will preach Jesus, speak Jesus, and live Jesus for you, to you, and with you. Our synod has adopted as its 500th anniversary of the Lutheran faith, it's still all about Jesus. And so I say to you, Brother Nolan and brothers in Christ, it's still all about Jesus. Working as hard as we can without him, we do nothing. To the extent that Dr. Nolan does so in faithfulness to the word and command of Christ, Grace Congregation will be blessed. And you and the people of God in this place will go forth into this community and the neighborhood bearing the light of the gospel to those whom the Lord of the church would add to his kingdom in this place. He will feed you with the pure gospel and feed you with nothing more than Christ himself given and shed for you. Together in the divine liturgy, as the word of Christ dwells in you richly, you will pray for one another, bride and best man, each according to their vocation. Together, your prayers will be joined with the prayer of the bridegroom of the church. And as the Lord himself takes them before his Father's throne, your intercessions will also be carried there by the Holy Spirit with sighs and groans too deep for words, directing your petitions to reflect whose and who you truly are. And because the will and heart of the triune God has been placed in you by the Holy Spirit, you will speak in Jesus' name. Today the whole church rejoices at this bringing together of pastor and people, church and ministry, preachers and hearers. It is truly a marriage made in heaven by Christ himself. It has been won by Christ, distributed by the Holy Spirit at the direction of the Father. Both church and pastor given by Christ Jesus for the mutual support and edification one of the other. Like earthly marriages, as God would define them, you cannot have a marriage without both a bride and a groom. I suppose sometimes it is because of our fallen nature, we are tempted to pit the bride against the best man and vice versa. Who is more important? And after contemplating on that thought for a while, I suggested that you run it past yourself this way. If you are married, think about going to your spouse and saying, "Who's more important in our marriage, dear, you or me?" Now, if I were to ask my bride that question, I think she would probably grab a frying pan and explain to me in no such small terms exactly what a foolish and wrong question that is. It's not important who is in charge. It is Christ's church. Each serves according to their vocation. The bride, who says, "Let it be to me as you have spoken, Father." And the bridegroom who says, "It is required of those who are overseers that a man be found faithful." So it is in the body of Christ, pastor and people put together by Christ in love. May it be so for you, Pastor Nolan, and for you, members of Grace Congregation, bound together by the mutual love of Christ. Love of Christ poured upon you through the means of grace. In this way and in this place, the Lord of the church through pastor and people will add to the church daily those who are being saved. This is how, through you, Pastor Nolan, and people of grace, God will love his created and fallen world in San Mateo California. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.